The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Sarah Slattery is on her travels, but I'm delighted we have today travel expert Sinead Kennedy. And you're going to tell us all about a country that I actually am thinking of visiting, never having been there. Iceland, is it worth going to?
Oh, Matt, it's well worth visiting and I can highly, highly recommend it, especially for anybody who's really interested in the outdoors or photography, nature, into geology, anything like that. It really is a nature lover's dream come true.
When's the best time to go?
I personally went in April and I had my birthday's in April. But if you go during the summer, you might see the whales, lots of whale watching in June, July and August. Northern Lights tend to be more September to April. But obviously come December, it is incredibly dark with only 20 hours of darkness. So only 4 hours of daylight. So, you know, obviously you've got to weigh up your options.
And you may not necessarily be able to get in and out of the airport in certain weather conditions.
Well, I suppose there is that. I mean, they are very well prepared. But at the same time, I think, you know, it is so dark and so cold, you'd kind of be wasting your time, really.
Okay, well, take us through an itinerary, because I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that it tends to be more of a long weekend location for many people.
Yes, and that's exactly what I did. Now, you can obviously stop over in Reykjavik on the way to the USA. Both airlines that fly from Dublin, which is Play Air and Iceland Air, both go via Reykjavik and then on to New York. So that's a brilliant way to put in a little stopover. It is only 2.5 hours from Dublin. Now, personally, I did do a long weekend there and I really was sorry that I hadn't taken an extra day just because I didn't get to do any hiking. So what I did do was we flew into the airport. You get in around 12 noon. We went straight to the Blue Lagoon from there. We actually hired a car. There was a little gang of us, so a car was much more economical. However, you know, there are amazing public transport and for day trips, which I'll discuss, that you can do. Now, most people are going to get there and stay in Reykjavik. And I have to say, I really loved Reykjavik. It's a beautiful little city. Lots of nice tourist shops, very historical, lots of nice museums as well. And one worth checking out there is the Saga Museum, which you can dress up like a Viking there. So that might take your fancy, Matt. And what I did do, now, most people are just going to go to Reykjavik, like I said, and then do a guided tour around. It's called the Golden Circle, which takes you through the very middle of the country. Now, Iceland is incredible. I mean, as soon as you leave Reykjavik, you're in the middle of nowhere. It is incredibly remote, very beautiful. So you're going there for scenic drives. You know, there's kind of not a whole lot in between, so to speak. It's just one big national park, but really, really stunning and well worth a visit. The Golden Circle will bring you around by the geysers, beautiful waterfalls. And I would highly, highly recommend is getting into a thermal bath while in Iceland. It just, your body will feel incredible. And actually, you know, I'm really delighted here to see saunas popping up so much now in Ireland and, you know, that we're adopting this whole kind of Scandi lifestyle. And, you know, heat, obviously, when you're living in a damp country is hugely important. So definitely get yourself to a thermal lagoon. Now, one of the thermal lagoons that I went to, I did go to both. I went to the Blue Lagoon, which is very upmarket, very commercial, but also very lovely. But I also went to one called the Secret Lagoon, Matt. And I had seen that on Rick Stein's TV show, The Cookery Show. And himself and the owner are actually boiling eggs in the thermal pool. So I just simply have to go there. And it's very local. It's very natural. You know, it's all out in the open and it's just way less commercial and you're going to meet the locals there. There's lots of other things to do. So whale watching trips from Reykjavik, I would highly recommend if you have time to book a hike. You know, there's the lava fields. And actually, there's a beautiful beach which has just been voted the 41st most beautiful beach in the world called Diamond Beach. And it's way off down on the south of the island.
Is this the one with the black sand?
Black sand. And it also has ice through it. So it looks like diamonds sparkling in black lava. So Google it. It's well worth looking at. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get there. But like, you know, everything is quite sparse in Iceland. You know, everything is going to be a day trip. So what I would always suggest or what I always do personally for myself is have a look at Viator and get your guide. Go through those because it will list all the day trips that you can do in any country or any city that you're going to. And then you can sit at home, browse through all of these tours and see what takes your fancy, see what takes your budget.
For the whale watching, do you do that from onshore or do you need to go out on a boat?
No, you can. Well, actually, I did Google it. The best thing to do really is to go on a day trip out on a boat. And the other thing is, if you had more time, a cruise around Iceland would be amazing. Obviously, if you can take in the Scandinavian countries, Iceland, Greenland, if your budget is a lot bigger than mine, that would be something really worth doing.
A listener says the Blue Lagoon is a danger zone right now. The volcano's on the verge of erupting. Volcanoes are an issue when you go to Iceland, aren't they?
They are, but actually the Blue Lagoon is open. I did check before I came. You can actually book it, so it is still open.
They'll keep it open until the volcano goes up, probably.
It's like going anywhere, isn't it? You take your chances.
What about snorkeling?
So snorkeling is something that I did. I snorkeled through the Sulphur Fissure, which is actually between the two tectonic plates of the two continents. Now, it was a really fun thing to do. It's something very different. It's kind of on a bucket list. But, you know, would I recommend it? I'm not so sure. There's an awful lot of preparation.
Yeah, what do you have to do to get ready to get into the freezing cold water?
So there's lots of equipment you have to wear. And it's actually not a wetsuit. It's this, like a dry suit. So you get dressed underneath it. And then they put like a big waterproof wetsuit on you, for want of a better word, and lock you in so that water can't seep in at the wrists or the ankles. And then there's headgear to be worn. So it's a whole experience. But the thing about it is that the water is so cold that there's nothing alive there. So whilst the water is beautiful and clear, all you can see are the rocks, which are very nice rocks. But, you know, would I recommend it? Not so sure. I would think check that one out for yourself. But it is fun.
Okay, what about the nightlife?
Nightlife, well, you know, I was there with my family, and I have to say it is incredibly expensive in Iceland to eat and drink. So, you know, again, depending on your own budget. Personally, I brought a suitcase full of snacks and peanuts, and I would highly recommend anyone going to any of the Scandinavian or Nordic countries to do that. It will just take the pinch out of the pocket for you. But food is excellent, really, really excellent. We had fun, lots of pubs, lots of bars. I don't know about nightclubs. Apologies, I didn't go
there. Okay, well, fish and lamb, I believe, are the two main foods. Tell us about the particular yogurt they have, though.
So, exactly. So, this is something that actually that you can buy here in Ireland. You'll see it in all of the supermarkets. It's called, excuse me, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, it's called Skyr, and it's really, really thick yogurt. Apparently, it takes 4 cups of milk to produce 1 cup of Skyr. So, again, it's in all of the supermarkets, but really, really thick, really, really creamy. Have to say, I adore it.
If eating and drinking out is so expensive, is also accommodation and flights to get there?
No, flights aren't too bad at all. Again, depending on your dates and your flexibility. Accommodation, there is something for everybody. There's hostels, there's hotels, there's Airbnb. So, again, you can mooch around and get something pretty decent. It's just food. I mean, it is. Look, everything has to be produced on the island or imported. So you've got to take that into consideration.
Sinead Kennedy, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about Iceland.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.